Praise the Lord.
Alleluia.
I am coming soon. That is our subject today. Mm. And we have many Bible verses today to start with Revelation chapter 22. Three times in the book of Revelation, Jesus assures his disciples of his imminent return. It says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, "And behold, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy in this book." Then verse 12, "Behold, I am coming soon. Bring my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done." And again, in verse 20, "He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Amen. Lord Jesus."
Amen.
Revelation chapter 22 is the last chapter of the Bible. And verse 20 contains Jesus' last words in this book, the words of prophecy. Yet, with almost 2,000 years having elapsed since Christ was ascended into heaven, we may ask, what exactly did Jesus mean when he said he is coming soon? The Greek word soon used in these verses is techi, which means also translated as quickly. So the same adverb is used in Matthew 28, verse 8, where it describes the women having hurried away from the empty tomb, in Matthew 28, verse 8, where it says, "So they departed quickly," or soon, "from the tomb, with fear and great joy, and ran to the disciples." So the same word is used, quickly and soon. What then was Jesus trying to tell us when he says he will come quickly or soon? We can consider the question in two ways. The words "I am coming soon" indicate either the shortness of the present time in comparison with the future age, or the sudden death of every person. Jesus' words at the end of this book of Revelation have a dual meaning. On one hand, they warn us that Jesus' second coming will indeed come soon, when we understand the time span of this world in relation to the time span of the age to come. 2,000 years is a short time compared to eternity. On the other hand, Jesus' words warn us that he is coming soon for every one of us at the moment of our death. We do not know when that moment will be. It could be today, it can be much later. And even if the Lord allows us to remain in this earth for a few decades, that is once again a very short time compared to eternity. One of the overarching themes of the Bible is that the present world is only a passing scene. With this in mind, the scriptures repeatedly highlights the fleeting nature of life. We read in Psalm 39, verse 5, "Behold, you have made my days a few handbreadths, and my lifetime is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stand as a mere breath." In Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. And then Isaiah 47. The grass withers, the flowers fade, when the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are like grass. And James 4:40, whereas you do not know about tomorrow, what is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. And 1 John 2:17 says, and the world passes away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. We understand that our lives are only for a short time. Even somebody who is getting 100 years old, what is that compared to time? Therefore, we have to live it wisely. Use our days wisely. As Christians, we know that one day Jesus will return in glory to forge the new heavens and the new earth and to judge the living and the dead. When Jesus does at last come, then we shall suddenly realize that everything we endured in this life was a mere blink of the eye compared to everything that awaits us if we remain faithful to Him. While the present life can feel long and arduous, particularly when we are suffering the reality of Christ's coming and the judgment which follows, we will be here soon, very soon. When Jesus promises that He is coming soon, He asks us to reflect not only on the transitory nature of this world, but also on the imminence of our own death. This is what the Lord told us in the parable of the watchful servant in Matthew 24, verse 42 to 44. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day our Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This parable is talking about the Jesus' second coming at the end of the world. But it is also a more immediate application to our own lives. But someone could say that the Lord was speaking to the apostles, but the apostles were not going to live to the end of the world. So why does He say, watch therefore, because you do not know what hour the Lord will come? It was necessary even for the apostles and for those who were before us and even for us, because the Lord comes in two ways. At the end of the world, He will come to all generally, likewise He comes to each man in his own end, in his death. Therefore, the coming is twofold: at the end of the world, and also at the time of death. Both happen to us unexpectedly. Each of us should make a daily habit of examining our conscience and repenting of our sins. Because we simply do not know the day or the hour when Jesus will come, like a thief in the night, to call us to judgment. What we do know is that judgment, whether it is today or several decades from now, will come soon, and we must be ready for it. About the time of Christ's second coming, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient because you toward you, not withholding that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." So the reason he can come before is because he wants more people to be saved. God's perception of time is very different from our perception of time. What seems like a delay to us is in reality an expression of God's patience and mercy, allowing more people to the opportunity to come to repentance and salvation. The promise of Jesus' return is intended to instill a sense of imminence and readiness among believers. Matthew 24:36, Jesus said, "Concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only." This unpredictability urges Christians to live in constant expectation and spiritual vigilance. The parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25 The parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25 strengthens this point. Five wise virgins were prepared with enough oil for their lamps when the foolish ones were not. When the bridegroom, symbolizing Christ's coming, arrived unexpectedly, only the prepared virgins were admitted into the wedding feast. This parable illustrates the importance of being spiritually prepared for Jesus' return at any moment. At any moment. We don't know whether he's coming today or much later. How should Christians live in light of Jesus' promise of a soon return? First, it calls for a life of holiness and a life of godliness. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11 to 12, it says, Peter wrote in this letter, "Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in life of holiness?" A life of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. The day of the Lord is coming, and we have to be prepared, live holy lives, so that we are ready when he comes. As believers, we should pursue righteousness, reflecting Christ's character in our lives. And secondly, this promise should motivate us to actively share the gospel. The Great Commission that Jesus gave in Matthew 28:19 and 20 instruct us to go and make disciples of all nations, spreading the message of salvation. The urgency of Christ's return underscores the importance of it to evangelize, as every moment is an opportunity to reach someone with the truth of the gospel. The promise of Jesus' return is not only a call to readiness, but also a source of immense hope and encouragement. In John 14:3, Jesus assures his disciples, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." This promise of eternal fellowship with Jesus provides comfort and strength, especially during trials and tribulations. Paul wrote about the hope of the resurrection and the rapture of believers. In 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 18, we read this: "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." The early believers, they encouraged one another about the rapture, to be with the Lord. They were ready to go. In conclusion, Jesus' declaration, "I am coming soon," is a powerful reminder for believers to live in a sense of urgency, holiness, and hope. While the exact timing of his return remains unknown, the promise serves to inspire readiness, diligent evangelism, holiness, and hope. Inspires to have unwavering faith, never to give up. As we await his glorious return, we can find solace in the assurance of his eternal presence, the fulfillment of his promise. When you study politics and economics and the dissolving of social and moral structures, you will understand that his time is imminent. Events such as increasing natural disasters, moral decay, global unrest, and the spread of the gospel to all nations align with biblical prophecies. For example, Matthew 24:6 to 8 speaks of wars, famines, earthquakes, and the signs of the end times. The rise of global communication and the ability to share the gospel worldwide fulfills the Great Commission in Matthew 28. These signs urge us who believe to remain vigilant and prepared, reinforcing the urgency of Jesus' promise of his soon return. Maranatha, he will come very soon. Thank you.
want to go straight to